Are you standing at a crossroad in life, being called to express yourself in a new way? You could ignore the nudging, or you could answer the call and change the trajectory of your life. Hi, I'm Mary Jo Rathke, life transition coach and host of the Creative Directions for Living podcast. I invite you to join me on a journey to explore your potential for expression and step onto a path filled with purpose and possibility. So hello and welcome. This is Mary Jo Rathke, and we are doing an episode of Creative Directions for Living with Teresa Murr. And Teresa is an author, coach, and speaker who has published The Art of Assisting Aging Parents, Discover the Journey to Honor Your Parents, Create Treasured Memories, and Live Life to the Fullest. And her book is based on her 35-year career as a physical therapist and caring for her parents. And what I want to talk about today is, we're going to be talking about a really interesting link. Oh, shoot, that's my phone. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on. It's not my phone, actually. So anyway, we're going to start over.
Okay.
So do you want me to start completely? No, I'm going to start over what we're going to be talking about today. Okay. So today on Creative Directions for Living, I'm going to be speaking with Teresa Murr about the link between caregiving and caretaking and creativity. And Teresa, this is such an interesting, it's an interesting topic because there's so many people who are caregivers and, natural caregivers, if you will. And it's so interesting to me personally because I was a caregiver for my father for a year and a half until he passed away. And so, so this link to creativity is super interesting to me with the caregiving. And before we get into all of that, I would love for you to just introduce yourself a little bit to, your journey to get to this caregiving and this link to creativity.
Okay, thank you for having me, Mary Jo. It's so nice to be here. I really appreciate this opportunity.
You're welcome.
Yes, and I have had the journey that started about 35 years ago in my career as a physical therapist. And my journey is one of being a creative person and being a little bit stuck in a profession that is very honorable and very worthy and so needed and helpful. But yet, I just always felt like my creative side wasn't, fulfilled. So I just, kept, working. I kept actually taking a lot of different jobs and learning as much as I could at one job and moving on to another one. And there was a point in my career where I was introduced to like multidisciplinary group therapy. And at that time, my creative juices were really flowing. I was like, oh, wow, this is fun. We can get all these different options together and give them different activities. And we can use, speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and we can, mix it up. And I just noticed that the patients were really thriving in this environment. So that is the point when I decided to take it on as a kind of a project. And I started writing up a lot of group therapies for a nursing home I was working at. And, it was just fun for everybody. And the residents really enjoyed it. I mean, we did like painting and, we did different things where we challenged them physically and mentally. And they interacted together. And it's just so amazing, too, because when you get a group of people together like that and give them an interesting activity, the group just takes on a life of its own, it was just amazing the things that these patients were doing. So it really interested me. And I wrote up a sequence and a four-step method. And I held on to that for about 13 years until I was able to put it into a book. And that's what I put into my book, The Art of Assisting Aging Parents.
Yeah. And so, you know, talking about your book, you know, you just talked about how, you know, you had founded this method to build the body, the brain, and spirit to really help people to achieve that highest mobility and personal life level of function. And you're calling it the BOSS Caregiver Blueprint. What would you like people to know about your BOSS Caregiver Blueprint?
Okay, yeah. That is my course, my online course. I decided to call it something different than the book because there really is an art to living and living well. And that's where, you know, we talked about too, being creative. If you can get your body, mind, and spirit at as close as you can to 100%, you are going to be opening yourself up to being creative and living a really full life. So I wanted to name my course something else because I wanted people to know that, you know, a lot of people, you know, they have the love and the devotion and the passion to help their parents, but they really just don't know what to do, you know, and they get stuck and frustrated and overwhelmed because they're like, you know, I don't know what to do with my parents, you know, and, you know, and I could go on and on about different scenarios about, you know, even some behaviors that parents, you know, have, you know, and as we age, it's new territory. We don't know what's going on, you know.
So what would be one of the most common behaviors that like people get stuck around as far as trying to help their aging parents?
I would say, you know, motivation. You know, it's, you know, parents, you know, and we all have those periods of time when we're just not motivated, you know, and as you age, you go through so many transitions, you know, you might lose a spouse or you're losing all your friends, or you have to move from, you know, the house you've been in for years to like an assisted living apartment. So you're going through these transitions and trying to cope with transitions, and you may not be motivated to do the things you need to do for yourself. Such as what I talk about in my book are the healthy lifestyle strategies that we really all need to be doing. They're really non-negotiable if we want good health, you know, and they're not hard. They're not expensive. It just takes a little bit of time every day to put these, you know, healthy lifestyle strategies in, you know, into work or, you know, to work for us. So motivation can be a problem.
And when you're speaking of motivation, are we talking about the adult, the parent, or the child, or are we talking about both?
Well, it definitely could be both, you know, but I think that the caregiver, say the child caregiver for the parent, you know, might be trying to help their parent, you know, learn new skills or even get up and exercise or, you know, eat right and things like that. And the parents are just, maybe they have anxiety or a little bit of depression and they're not able to get, you know, moving into action. And that's why in my book, or like in my book and in my course, BOSS Caregiver Blueprint, I give people a blueprint, which is a four-step method, and they can be creative as to what they put into the method. And, customize it for themselves and their parents so that it's, you know, the activities they want to do, the things they're interested in. A couple of the steps are helping you parents find their strengths and then find their life vision. And, you know, I really think that's what motivates us. You know, we all have strengths and we like to work from our strengths because that's who we are. You know, we aren't our weaknesses, you know, right. but we want to be our strengths. And so, you know, you help your parents find those strengths and I give you, you know, activities to do that. I give you suggestions and activities on how to do that. And then also kind of nailing down that life vision. And really, we all have one. We all have a life vision and a life purpose. And you just don't want to let go of that. Mm. So, yeah. And I have people help their parents kind of tweak that to maybe change it up a little bit so that their parents are, you know, they want to get out of bed every day. They want to be active. They want to participate in life. So that's part of the blueprint.
Yeah. So it's that idea that it's you're alive up until your last breath.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
And having a vision, you know, having a vision for what you want that to be, depending on, you know, your capabilities, if you will, right? You know, like mm-hmm. how do you live the fullest life you possibly can under any circumstances?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And what were you about to say?
Oh, I was going to say, as you said, you know, till we take our last breath. And that is one part of the book I try to, you know, kind of highlight is that our brains are plastic, you know, really until the day we die. And we can make changes. In fact, everything we choose, every behavior we choose either breaks our brain or makes our brain. And so, and that's something to think about in your midlife too, like us. Every choice I make is going to make me a stronger person. It's going to increase the networks in my brain or even build new neural networks that I can function from for, you know, for the rest of my life. Or I can decrease the quality of those networks by making poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's a piece of education I give that I want people to know that.
Okay.
Yeah, every choice they make. And again, that kind of leads into your creativity.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. As we make good choices, as we build ourselves up, we will naturally become more creative.
Yeah. And so it sounds like the idea of having a motivation that is built on your strengths, and making choices that will continue to build up your strengths and your brain health, then this is all leading to a more creative life.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any other secret sauce you want to add to how to, you know, increase? I love the idea of the art of healthy living. And, you know, where creativity intersects with that. And I'm just wondering if you want to talk a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes. What I do too in my book is in my course, I teach healthy lifestyle strategies. And these are all good for your brain and body. And if you get your brain and body working better, your spirit will flourish. You know, you'll feel good and you'll be motivated. But I teach, you know, healthy nutrition, hydration. I teach exercise, for the brain and the body.
Okay.
And I teach meditation and mindfulness, which actually grow your brain and grow your learning and memory center in your brain. And I also teach breathing. You know, breathing is critical for our health.
Mm-hmm.
And also how to get a good night's sleep. And all these things, yes, if you practice these every day, and, you know, you start with the basics. I teach the basics and have people work up from there. But if you get the basics down and you start, you know, getting your body into a very good state of function, that's one way where you can help yourself creatively. Your creativity, you know, it kind of starts with being healthy. Yes.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And I also teach people how to get to know themselves. I have a method. I use a couple educational theories where if you get to know yourself and your strengths and your weaknesses, then you have the ability to nurture your strengths and build up your weaknesses. So I highly recommend people nurture their strengths, such as, I'm an introvert, but I love nature and I love my spiritual life. Mm. So I nurture those things, you know, every day, every week, and every year. So I might plan a vacation that puts me into nature Mm-hmm. You know, and I plan a little bit of time every day to be spiritual and maybe, you know, pray or go for a walk in nature and, you know, have a spiritual time there. Mm-hmm. So I'm nurturing those strengths. And that's something you can help yourself and your parents with. Mm-hmm. Bring those things into their lives. You know, that's why, you know, we want to sit down with our parents and have a conversation. And find out really, you know, what their strengths are. And, you know, so that's one way to, you know, again, be creative is by nurturing your strengths.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it's reminding me of is, you know, like when my father was still alive and we were taking care of him, you know, he was actually a very creative person. And one of the things that actually my sister did was to get him on Facebook, and he ended up creating like a daily blog, you know, with a whole persona for himself and reconnecting with colleagues and students from his past life. And that really kept him going for years and really helped to, I think, supply that motivation and that life vision, you know, being able to have an outlet for creativity as well as connection with other people, not just the family, but then also with the family. That was also really important to be able to connect over meals and celebrations and different things like that. So that was also...
Yes. Oh, I totally agree. And I'm glad you brought that up about the human contact, you know, because that's one of the things also I talk about in my book is how important groups are, you know, as I've talked about earlier, but that face-to-face interaction, oh my gosh, it just helps you thrive with, you know, in your body, mind, and spirit. And they're actually finding out now that that face-to-face interaction is responsible for our longevity. So if you want to stay healthy and live a long life, make sure you stay in your groups, or if you're not in a group, you know, after this pandemic ends, you know, get back into your groups and really work on, you know, trying to keep up that socialization. Yeah.
What, you know, what advice or, you know, ideas do you have for people as far as being creative around connection in groups during the pandemic? Because we know that one of the big things is, you know, isolation and, you know, social distancing. So what would you say to people who were struggling with that?
Yes, I would try to get on, FaceTime or the Zoom calls and try to get a group together about every week so you feel connected. You know, it could be your family or it could be even a group that you belonged to before, and just try to maintain that connection. And even I know people are doing some things online, such as, you know, one person did their pumpkin carving as a family, but everybody had their pumpkin, you know, or, you know, we just got done with Christmas and people got on with Christmas and everybody opened their packages, you know, in front of each other.
So you did that.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good way. And also, you know, if you can meet outside and if you used to exercise and, you know, but you want to be together with a group, maybe get together outdoors and, you know, with that social distancing in mind, but still have to do like walking and things like that.
That got a little bit garbled.
I would recommend.
Can you repeat what you just said about getting outdoors? Because that got garbled.
Okay. Getting outdoors with your friends. If you used to exercise, this is a great time to, you know, meet outdoors and do the social distancing, but still be able to, you know, walk or walk and talk and or maybe even gardening. You could, you know, be socially distanced and still garden or something like that. But I would say that would probably be the safest things right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And have you in your practice, have you seen, you know, sort of a big uptick, if you will, in people struggling with this? Or is...
Yes, and that is what I've heard. And actually, as a physical therapist, I'm still doing a little bit of work, but I do it telehealth. So mm-hmm. I'm at home with my computer. So I'm really not in the facilities at this time, but I have heard that the social isolation, even in the nursing homes, is really, really taking its toll on, mm-hmm. on the residents. And, you know, a lot of them are passing away. Some of them are getting ill, and social isolation does cause illness.
Yeah.
In fact, I know our country spends billions of dollars every year just on social isolation. So it is a problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, so your groups can help with that. Mm-hmm. And
I'm wondering, how can creativity help with that?
Well, creativity and art is very good for your brain and body. And there's many studies that have shown that being creative and doing arts and crafts or painting or some other type of creative venture, like even music, it tends to decrease your anxiety. It decreases depression. It helps people with transitions. Mm-hmm. I know a woman told me that she was actually a painting teacher at an assisted living facility, but she told me that one of her the people in her class used the fine arts, which was painting for her, to actually get over her husband's death. It helped her cope, you know, actually that was a tool she used to transition from, you know, being married to being a widow.
Right.
So, yeah. So there are many, many studies. You don't even have to like art. You just have to participate in it.
You know? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it actually works on your brain and you as you do it, you know, and yeah. Right. So
it's not about perfection. It's just about participating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So,
yeah.
So, it's so interesting that you brought up this, you know, the idea of using creativity, art, music, painting for not only grief, but also for transitioning, you know, and I'm wondering, you mentioned that there's a lot of studies around that. I'm just curious if you would like to share a little bit about that, because I think that's something that's really important for people to know. Mm-hmm. How to help
yes.
with the grief.
Yes. And I think too, during that period of grief, like there's like three stages of grief. And I take this according to William Bridges and his book. Mm-hmm. But the first stage is that of the ending period, when something ends in your life. Yes. And you're not, you know, you're just trying to adjust to that, you know, and then you're not, you know, maybe super active in anything, and you're waiting for like even some direction, or you just need some time. You need some time to think and things like that. So your creative activities would help with that. Also, usually creative activities, this can very much be in a group. So if you would get together in a group and do a creative activity, you're actually, you know, having the camaraderie of, you know, and having the people around you, you might even have the chance to be a confidant for somebody. You know, somebody might tell you their problems and you would be able to give them good. And, you know, it builds up your self-esteem, it builds up your confidence. And so that can help during that period of time. The next phase is that it's the neutral phase. Like you're not moving forward and you're not moving backwards, which is kind of in neutral. Yeah.
Right.
And again, having the art, creative things to do, maybe even some creative cooking or an art project, that again helps you just, it just really helps a lot, even with anxiety and depression, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so that period of time when you're trying to figure out what to do, that's really important, because you could be so anxious because you might have to move from your home to an assisted living facility, you know, or you might have just broken your hip and you have to learn how to walk with a walker, or, you know, your life has changed and you're in this neutral phase and you haven't started that new life yet. So again, those periods when you can get together with people and do creative things, you know, the arts, that definitely helps your body, brain, and spirit. And I wish, and I know it's in my book, and I wish I had more details because I actually have some studies in my book, you know, of the research that I did, and it is in the book, but I know that, you know, it does, you know, it builds up your self-esteem and, you know, it just really helps your brain function better when you can take the anxiety out of your brain and body, and you kind of get into more of a calm. It just calms your body down.
Yeah. So it sounds like when you're in that neutral phase, when you're, you know, the end has happened, you're starting the new beginning. Now you're in the neutral phase, and your new life hasn't quite started yet, but you're managing all of these different emotions, and that the creativity piece, the art and the groups and socialization, really taking care of your body and your brain can help you, and your spirit can help you in managing the emotional time in that neutral phase when you're feeling like you can't really move forward yet, but you are dealing with all sorts of internal movement, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And you mentioned research you don't have at your fingertips, but research that you did personally?
Actually, no, it was research. Okay. I did some research on this topic. And there are many studies of people that have really flourished by adding that piece of art into their lives as they age.
And is it specifically in that neutral time, or is it at any of the three phases? But it's I'm curious.
I would say it was probably at any of the three phases. It definitely has an effect, you know, on your body. I think during the neutral phase, again, you need some time, you know, time just to think about things. And a lot of times your family might bring you pamphlets of, you know, mom and dad, this is where we picked out for you to live now. Or, you know, you've got to take all this new stuff in. But if you have those, you know, creative outlets, that gives you some time to, you know, process this. Because just think if you had to think about this all day long, you know, all these changes that are coming upon you all day long, it builds up the anxiety. Yeah. So, you know, it's almost like having a creative outlet and you know, and I think that, you know, some people have, you know, you might not think they're creative, but given the right tasks and things to do, you might be surprised, you know?
My belief is that everyone is actually creative. It's just, you know, we don't always express it in the same ways. And so, you know, while one person might be, you know, a great musician or a great painter, another person might be a mathematical whiz, you know, and the creativity that they can, you know, express using that skill and that strength, if you will, is one of their ways of being creative. You know, but this is so interesting. And so then the last phase, you talked about the, you know, the first two phases, the last phase when they're now starting their new life, how does creativity help?
Yes. Well, and that is a phase where they kind of accept, you know, what's going on and they're able to step into a new life and actually be independent. You know, when you see that independent phase coming, that is wonderful. You know, they've transitioned through that, you know, and that would be the time when they might be able to take that creative expression and even bring it to a higher level, you know, say if they are painting, they might be able to take their painting into an art show or, you know, or maybe sell some of it, or they might be able to reach out to a school and say, I would like to give a little art lesson to your fifth graders, or, you know, something like that. you know, actually take their body, brain, and spirit and put it into the world in a great, great way. Yeah. And that creative outlet might be their thing, you know, or it might be, they were so passionate about organization or a nonprofit. And they put that creativity into the world, you know, where they might be able to help with that, or, you know, it could just be a variety of different things, you know.
But
you see that self-expression towards that last phase of new beginning.
Which would help with that piece on motivation and the vision and, you know, the living life to the fullest up until the last breath, you know, when you can take that creativity and really be able to now share it with, you know, the people out in the world, then it really gives you a whole new sense of meaning and purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Okay. So Teresa, I know that you have something that you would like to share with the listeners, and so tell us what you have to share if they would like to learn a little bit more.
Okay. My book is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And the name of my book is The Art of Assisting Aging Parents. And then I do have my course, Boss Caregiver Blueprint, where you can learn my book in 6 weeks and feel very confident and, you know kind of know what you're doing, you know. And that is on my website. And my website is www.teresa, it's T-E-R-E-S-A, moerer.com. And I also have a free 20-minute strategy. It's a creative caregiver strategy session. And you can find that on my website. You can sign up for a call, or I believe that you're going to post a little bit of information on how to sign up for that call. But yeah, I would be happy to talk to you about a challenge you're facing as you care for your aging parents and how to creatively come up with a solution, because there are solutions. And after working in the health field for 35 years, and I always enjoyed the tough patients. I always said, just give me the tough ones. I like a challenge and I love a puzzle. So I love to help people with that. And so I would be happy to help anybody that wants to chat for 20 minutes about a problem, and we can come up with a solution.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, thank you for that. And so I'm just wondering if there's a piece of wisdom that you would like to leave with everybody. What's one of the most important things that you would like people to know?
Yeah, I would like people to know that probably the highest skill you can achieve, and one that will help you through this whole process, is the ability to listen. And if you have a good ability to listen with your whole body, which I mean, you know, all your senses, and, you know, it's what you're seeing, it's what you're hearing, it's what you're feeling, and really listen for the meaning and decipher what's going on before you give your response, that will make your life so much easier and so much happier and so much more full, because you're actually really communicating with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when we only listen just to give our, we're not really listening when we just want to give our response right away. So,
right.
And that's something I teach too, how critical to any life skill you have. So that's my biggest takeaway.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yep.
And is there anything else that you would like to share that I haven't actually asked?
Okay. Well, I would say another one of my number one things is just get started. You know, just get started today. And I give people tips on how to change their diet. You know, by taking out 5 ingredients out of your diet, you could literally change your whole life. And, you know, but if you don't get started, nothing will happen. If you keep everything in your brain, and all these are great thoughts and great advice, but you have to get into action. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I just recommend just get started today, or go find a meditation app, or, you know, change your diet, start drinking more water, you know.
Take easy steps to start.
Yes.
So that you can have some success and then keep it going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And will people, when they read your book, will they find any of this information in the book?
Yes. Actually, it's all in there.
Okay.
Yes. I give all the healthy lifestyle strategies. I explain 2 educational theories you can use. Okay. And I also explain, the benefits of group interactions. And I teach caregivers how to work with their parents through transitions, do conflict management, and also the self-care piece. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
So I teach a lot.
Yes, it sounds like it. Maybe we can have you back and we can talk about, some of these other individual pieces at another time. That sounds awesome. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Jo.
You are so welcome, Teresa. It was my pleasure. And, so to all the listeners, if any of you out there are, caregivers or about to become caregivers for your parents, you should really check this book out and check out Teresa's website. And Teresa, if you want to give it again one more time.
Okay. Yes, it's www.teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, MOERER.com.
Okay. All right. And so I appreciate the conversation about, how creativity is linked to the caregiving and caretaking that so many people are now being, faced with their aging parents, and how you can really use creativity to help with the transition process and also relieve grief and suffering, loss, and also to, find community. It sounds like community, so that social isolation isn't as keen, and how creativity can also help with that. So I really, really appreciate your insights today. So thank you, Teresa.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Jo. It's great to be here.
Okay. All right. And that concludes our talk for today.
I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and founder of Creative Directions for Living. I'll meet you at the crossroads where creativity and courage await.